an airline merger in the works.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, good morning, I'm Jeremy Hobson. American Airlines and U.S. Airways could announce a merger as early as next week. That's according to the Wall Street Journal. And if the two carriers get together, the result would be the world's largest airline. Marketplace's Jim Burris reports.
And then there were four. A combined American-U.S. Airways would join United, Delta, and Southwest as the nation's remaining major carriers. Seth Kaplan is with Airline Weekly.
One reason airlines merge, like companies in any industry, is to control a little more market power.
Kaplan says airfares could remain steady since American and U.S. Airways compete on only a handful of routes. But will any of the airline's current hub cities go away, as Memphis did in the Northwest Delta merger? FareCompare.com CEO Rick Cini says probably not.
We're talking about cutbacks in the range of maybe 3 to 5%, so I don't think there's any cities that they both wouldn't like to have in their portfolio.
The combined carrier would likely keep the American Airlines brand and be headquartered in Fort Worth. I'm Jim Burris for Marketplace.
And let's get a check on Wall Street. Stocks are down this morning. The Dow down 114 points or 0.8% at 13,871. The Nasdaq down 0.9%, and the S&P 500 also down 0.9%. Well, President Obama is meeting with House Democrats today to rally support for immigration reform. Lawmakers are still trying to determine whether a pathway to citizenship for illegal immigrants should be contingent on tighter border security. Joining us now from Miami with more is Stephen Keppel. He's economics editor at Univision News. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy. Great to be with you.
Well, great to have you. So I want to ask you first, where would we see the biggest impact of immigration reform if something like what's being talked about in Washington were to pass?
Well, Jeremy, I'm sure you were watching the Super Bowl the other night and you saw that great farming ad put on by Dodge Ram.
The one with Paul Harvey.
Yes, exactly. You know, very inspirational. The thing is, our farming sector doesn't really look like that today. In fact, 75% of all farm workers in America were born in Mexico. And around 53% of those are undocumented. So it's quite a different picture than we expect.
So that's the area you would look for the biggest economic impact, farm labor in the United States.
Definitely. The agriculture industry has been a big proponent of immigration reform. And they would, by developing a legal path to citizenship and more importantly for them, a guest worker program, it would legalize a huge section of their workforce. It would help them to plan for the future. It would help workers that work seasonally that come in from Mexico and work throughout the West Coast kind of come and go much more easily. And it's just much more sustainable.
Well, is that message getting out in Washington?
I think so, but I don't think the full message has really hit home yet, because one of the key issues that the farming sector is facing is not just dealing with immigration, but it's finding a way to attract the labor that they need. The labor supply from Mexico is actually on the decline, and they really need to do something to become more competitive and attract more migrants and have a more sustainable supply of labor. So immigration reform is just actually a first step.
Stephen Keppel, economics editor for Univision News. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, helping individuals and businesses make their best impression where people learn about them first on the Internet. Learn more at Reputation.com. By the University of Maryland Smith School of Business, with faculty and research centers that put academic thinking into action, rhsmith.umd.edu. And by Progressive, which offers the ability to quote, buy, and manage policies with the Progressive mobile app. Learn more at progressive.com.
This weekend is the Chinese New Year, which is kind of like Thanksgiving over here, which means many Chinese women have to endure endless questions about why they're not married yet. And as a result, a business has emerged to offer a quick fix solution, fake boyfriends. Here's the BBC's Celia Hatton.
Groups of young women huddle over large bowls of noodles in the basement canteen of an office tower in downtown Beijing. They look depressed when asked about the impending Chinese New Year holiday. Ding Na is almost 30 and comes from China's northeast.
I'm under lots of pressure. My sisters and relatives all ask me why I'm still single. When they call me, I'm scared to pick up the phone.
20-somethings in China, young women especially, face a strict societal deadline to marry by their early 30s. Zhou Xiaopeng is a consultant with Baihe.com, one of China's biggest dating agencies.
Picture a scene where people sit around a table. Chinese people love to get together for dinner. On New Year's Eve, everybody is sitting in pairs, your brother with your sister-in-law, your sister with your brother-in-law, and so on. If you're the only one left behind, you can imagine the pressure and frustration.
Taobao is China's most popular online shopping website, and if we search for renting a fake boyfriend for Chinese New Year, dozens of ads are coming up here. Here's one for 52 renminbi an hour. That's about $8 an hour for the man to spend time with a single woman's relatives. And for 500 renminbi, the same man will spend the night if he gets his own bed. And for 600 renminbi, he'll sleep on the couch. But lower down in the ad, he makes it very clear that sex is not an option. Intrigued, we phoned one of the guys offering to work as a fake boyfriend over the Chinese New Year. Li Le is a 24-year-old businessman from China's central Hebei province. Sounding a little embarrassed, Li admits this is the first year he's attempted to work as a fake boyfriend. He insists he's not doing it for the money.
It's an exciting thing to do. I might find people who share my interests, and it would make both of us happy.
30 women have contacted Li so far, but he says it's tough to find someone who trusts him enough to invite him home for Chinese New Year. In Beijing, I'm the BBC's Celia Hatton for Marketplace.
And finally, there's a big winter storm headed for the Northeast, and the Weather Channel, which names winter storms now, has called this one Nemo, as in the lovable Disney fish. And I'm just being told we have some audio from inside the winter storm.
Hello! Don't be rude, say hi.
Hello!
His son Bingo,
Nemo,
was taken to,
Sydney!
Yes, and it's really, really important that we get there as fast as we can. So can you help us out?
Hopefully winter storm Nemo will be as polite as that. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media. Charlie LaDuff, formerly of the New York Times, currently of Detroit, Michigan, has a new book out.
I mean, the whole country is on the ropes. And so when I say an American autopsy, what's happening in Detroit is happening in most places across the United States.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. What you find when you go home again, next time on Marketplace from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.